Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan and Garrett is hanging out behind the glass.
Don't forget to join Dukes and Bell today at Napa Auto Parts in Miro. As soon as we get ready, for the Falcon season to kick off, during the final hour of the broadcast, the Falcons in Napa will be giving away free car flags. Plus, there'll be a special appearance by Freddie Falcon, the Falcons cheerleaders, and Falcons legend Jarius Norwood, Jay Smooth. That's Dukes and Bell today at Napa Auto Parts in Morrow on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Look at Garrett playing proper Eric Church here. You know, not what our boy Dylon's playing probably in his iPod.
Played wrecking ball.
I said iPod like I would.
He thought the wrecking ball vibes from Eric Church were going to be the same as Miley Cyrus.
Well, you hear the song title "Wrecking Ball." That sounds loud.
Yes.
Proud.
But then you realize he's coming home to his girl.
And it's dirty.
I'm going to kick this door in.
Good song.
Where's she at?
It has those Riley Green vibes
it
right now.
It really does.
It really does.
50 Shades of Green, I hear you.
All right. Yesterday, we talked about a Falcons defense. Let's focus on the offense today because Sunday is coming. It is getting closer and closer. So we're going against the Bucs defense, obviously. What matchups are you most confident in? What are you worried about? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's break it down. I want to say, Bo, that I'm most confident in Bijan Robinson, but I'm not because he has not been a massive part of the game plan throughout his first couple of seasons here in Atlanta. The most confident you should be is for Drake London. Drake London has been that guy. I realize that Darnell Mooney is a day-to-day situation, but Drake London, the way he has matched up with this secondary, and they have a decent secondary. We know these guys. We know Antoine Winfield. We know some of the other pieces they have in place. But, boy, oh, boy, he's had a couple of really, really good games, and his physicality kind of sets the tone when it comes to these kind of matchups with Tampa. So, I am definitely most confident in him, although I am positive they will have some kind of special game plan for him, no doubt, on Sunday.
I don't know how do you cover Drake if you're Tampa? Do you do some kind of bracket coverage? Do you try to come up on him and try to maybe press him off the line a little bit and throw him off? I mean, who's going to do it? You, Jamel Dean? You, Zion McCollum? They can't cover him. Personally, in five games against Tampa, the guys got over almost 600 yards receiving, and in 42 catches. So that's six games. Excuse me. He's done a really good job against Tampa, and he's starting to kind of do what Mike Evans has done in a little bit different way to us. Right? Be a problem.
Yeah.
He's a matchup problem. I think the best thing they can do to stop him is Hassan Reddick and Vita Vea and these guys, Kalijah Kancey, getting after the Falcons' offensive line.
Yeah.
And look, Ryan Neuzel was when Kirk Cousins threw for almost 800 yards and eight touchdowns against Tampa Bay, Ryan Neuzel was a starting center. So
yeah,
he's going
point.
Against Vita Vea. And they had Bergeron and Lindstrom, so that's going to be an interesting. That's where they have to, if they want to do that.
Yeah, I think that, and it's funny because Ryan Neuzel, like I said it a couple times during training camp, him being like a tree stump. You know what I mean? It seems like the kind of game that he plays, he should fare pretty well against the Vita Vea, but I don't think anybody fares great against Vita Vea. And I always say this because I'm a taller guy and I did play some interior. Length is strength. He doesn't have that length, right, when it comes to being able to get separation from Vita Vea. So he's going to have to kind of make sure that Vita Vea is not a train and is more of like a go-kart. You know what I mean? He can't let him stay on the tracks and continue to move forward. You have to make sure that there's some change of direction there and you can kind of throw him off balance. And hopefully that's part of the game plan, not just something Ryan Neuzel has to deal with.
And if you're going to win this game, You're going to have to run the ball the way you did against them in the second game in Tampa, where you ran for 130 yards in a 4.5 yard clip. Yeah. But Bijan had 63 in that game. I'll put it this way: if you play them the way you did in week five, I think it was the Thursday night game, you're going to lose. Because they ran for 160 yards in Atlanta that week, that Thursday night game. And Baker only threw for 180, but he threw for three touchdowns. So you're going to have to do a little bit of ball control in the offense, and you're going to need Bijan and Tyler Allgeier to step up.
Well, and one of the most crucial matchups I want to ask you about is Michael Penix versus Antoine Winfred. Where is the where's the confidence level on that?
Yeah, that's a huge one, right? That's the entire deal. That's when you look at Penix and the in facing off with the safety position, really all the secondary, but when you look at his ability to kind of match up and read things the correct way and make some of the intermediate throws, I think that's going to be one of the biggest things when it comes to intermediate throws. Right? When it comes to throwing down the field, I think he's fine. When it comes to play action and beating over the top, that's fine. When it comes to the intermediate stuff, I think that's where, when you look back at the film last year of Michael Penix, that's where there's room for growth.
Yeah, go back to the play that has caused a lot of discussion, which was the non-timeout against Washington. And then that play is he throws like a bench route, so to speak, to Mooney. And it's that's in that 10 to 20 yard, which is you're calling 10 to 20 intermediate is what I would call intermediate. And he was off. Yeah. He missed Mooney. He had Mooney wide open. He missed him. And if he hits that, you get out, you kick the field goal, right? And you probably, maybe you're out of bounds, clock stops, you can keep moving. But those are he's just not been as accurate in those first three games on those passes that you need. The deep ball is absolutely, it's stunning how accurate he can be with his deep ball.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, how many times in practice did we watch him go out there and play action over the top to Casey? Play action over the top to Ray. The play action over the top to Ray Ray is why they got in a fight against the Titans. Remember that? Like, it was like, oh, play action, deep ball, bow. And that's the whole cut that came out that's all over Falcons social media where he's like, I'm telling y'all, on game day, I don't miss. I don't miss. That's exactly the situation that it was. And I don't think he will. But he's going to have to hit some of the intermediate throws against Antoine Winfield if we're going to have success when it comes to this Sunday. That's the big step.
And the matchup to me is happening right now between he and Winfield, right? Winfield is studying him, and he's studying some of the tendencies. He's probably sat down with Jesse Bates and was like, what do you think he's going to, because I think we've heard Jesse and how he likes to interact with the quarterbacks. What are some things I should be looking for that this guy might do? Is there anything that I can watch on tape that he might do to bait me, or that he's looking for me to do that he's going to try to get a read off of? Because the one thing we have, there's not a lot of experience. Well, Penix doesn't have a lot of tape out there either, and so you know he was Dukes and Bell talked to Michael Penix yesterday, and they asked him like. It was a weird question. Like, oh, is it going to be a full playbook? And Penix is like, it was always was. Well, are there going to be new wrinkles? And he goes, there always are. And everything he says, right. Everything I ever heard out of the camp was that they never, I'm going to tell you this. I personally, no one from the teams told me this. I personally think the playbook actually opened up when Penix got on the field. They didn't take sheets and be like, well, this is you don't know how to do this. This is Kirk only. I'm going to get that out of the way. They didn't do that. It was
– Yeah, what was the first play when he came in and started?
A rollout.
It was a bootleg.
Yeah. So they opened it up. They said, hey, we can put this page back in and that page back in for – so and cerebrally, there's nothing – there's things he hasn't seen in defenses. But as far as the playbook and things that he can do physically and mentally, it opened up more. But that said, Winfield's a veteran. He's one of the five best safeties in this league. He's not the best. The best wears number three in black and red. And he'll be on the field this weekend. Just won't be playing for Tampa.
It's definitely a heck of a matchup between those two.
But that's where Jesse and him can get together. And hey, he's going to look for this, look for that. Those are the things we don't ever think about. Plays are made. A lot of times, I think, Mike, in situations like this, Monday through Friday.
Well, and you know, to kind of give an extension to Allie's question about the matchup between those two, how about the matchup between Zach Robinson and Todd Bowles? Like, that's kind of the next tier, right? Zach Robinson, for everything we love about him, I hate to say it, he's still extremely unproven as an offensive coordinator. Like, it just is what it is. Like, he's in his week one game plan last year was by far the worst game plan he had the entire season. I'm still dumbfounded over what the game plan was headed into that game against Steelers. So that's a week one matchup against Todd Bowles is not usually where you'd want things to go because he's so exotic in the way he approaches and attacks these offenses.
Well, but it's very similar in week one is the fact that they're basically always sending somebody. It feels like the way Pittsburgh can get pressure. And that's the thing for me is I don't want to get into the conversation last year with Zach Robinson. I do feel like there's blame to go all the way around with why that was such a vanilla offensive game plan that week. But I still come back to the fact that that is going to be as much on Penix. And yes, this week, it just like I talked about with Winfield and everything, it's Zach Robinson's job to get Michael Penix ready for what those things are going to come. But Michael Penix, when he stands at that line of scrimmage, whether he's in the shotgun, the pistol, or under center, he's going to have to recognize what they're doing and what they're sending because that is going to be a big part of it.
Well, it sounds like you guys think we can handle Winfield. And yes, I worked it back in.
I wasn't going to say it. I wasn't going to say it.
Mike, your face does not lie ever.
I wasn't going to say it.
This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Coming up, we've got the NFL season opener tonight. We're going to talk about it in the huddle. Next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.